Welcome to NFL Total Access, the locker room. I'm Michael Robinson alongside Jeezy. What's up, big dog?
Hey, buddy, I am ready for a great pod, Mike Rob, as they might say. I mean, I'm just, that's what the script says, and I am ready for a great pod, Mike. You know, we do these opens, and they're loosely scripted, and we love to give our guy Tom Self some crap about how it's written, but you know what? The man takes the time to write it. The least I could do is read the words, Mike Rob.
There you go, and you read them, man. It's all good, dog. But this week, we got a three-time Pro Bowl running back. You know I like the runners, right? And a man who doesn't even need a full name, just three letters and a number. CJ2K is with us, and guys, you don't want to miss it. He's probably the only person you're going to hear from that's actually raced a cheetah. Now, I'm not talking about Tyreek Hill. I'm not talking about a nickname for a car. He raced the actual animal, a cheetah.
And you talked about CJ2K. We talked to him about where that nickname came from, because I didn't remember. Would you believe, Mike Rob, it was us? Well, not yes. Me and you, us, but listen in. He'll explain.
We have one of the top running backs of his generation, one of my favorite all-time great backs in history, and he played during my time in the league, Jeezy. Chris CJ2K Johnson. Welcome to the podcast, big dog.
What's happening, man? Glad to be here, man.
Yeah, man, we're glad to have you. Now, look, now the price of admission to the Total Access podcast, the locker room, right, is a locker room story. Now, not one of those, you know, those weak locker room stories that we would tell on TV, man. We peeled a curtain back here on the podcast. Yeah. Now it's time for you to bless us with your locker room story, big dog.
Locker room story. I think one of my best ones that happened to me, man, I think I was either a rookie or my second year. So, you know, we used to try to get to practice. You know, we used to be late sometimes. So,
yeah.
You know, you had the mornings where you got to go over on the shoulder, you ride the whole thing down, you putting that jump in the car, running up for team meeting. So used to be late a couple of times. One time it happened, I parked in the GM in his spot in the front. Oh. Yeah, so they, you know, I mean, they like, yeah, whoever parking it, y'all gotta stop parking in the front, this, that, whatever, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Come around again, I'm late again. I'm pulling up. I park in the same spot. Park in the same spot, random mean this and that, go throughout my day. So it's time to leave at the end of the day. I walk to the parking lot. I honestly forgot I parked in his spot. So I go to where the players lot at.
Yeah.
So in Tennessee, they got the players lot, and then right in front of the building where you can come through the door and be right there at the meeting, that's where the coaches and GMs, all them park right there. So I went to the players lot. I'm like, oh, damn, I can't hear. I'm like, oh, damn. Oh, I parked in the front. I was late today. So go to the front, to the spot. Makai ain't there. I'm like, man, what's going on? So I go back. I go in the front to security. I'm like, man, what Makai was? Security like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? So I'm through the building. Like, I'm through the building trying to figure out what Makai at. You know what I'm saying? I know ain't nobody just come up here and steal Makai from the facility.
Yeah.
Whatever. So I'm probably at work like an extra 30 minutes going around trying to find Makai. So Jeff Fisher end up coming out of his office. He like, yeah, we told you about parking in the spot and stuff like that. So they played a big joke on me. They had then got my keys out my locker and moved my car like into, you know, in the bubble. They got a little heavy. Man, yeah. They had my car inside the bubble, man.
Oh my goodness.
God, that taught me a lesson, though. I ain't parked that no more. But
so you ain't think about going up to the GM office? Like, hold up, man. Maybe he got that thing moved from me. You ain't think about going up there?
No, I ain't think about it. I'm like, man, where possibly can my car be? Like, I know I ain't leave my keys in the car, no nothing. So, you know, the equipment guys, they was in on it and all that stuff like that. So at the end of the day, sure, it was funny.
Are we talking Floyd Reese? Is that who the GM was back then?
It wasn't Floyd Reese. It was I think Ryan Field at the time.
Oh, okay. I got you. All right.
Ryan Field was there at the time. Yeah.
All right. So all you youngins out there, you know, if you get the player of the week spot, a lot of places have the player of the week spot that let you park right there. But if not, no. Don't go parking up front. Parking
there. Don't do that.
Mike Rob introduced you, Chris, as CJ2K, your longtime nickname, which you earned in 2009. You led the NFL 2006 rushing yards, set the all-time single-season scrimmage record with 2,509 yards, 2,509 yards. Did anybody, like, you know, you think back to that season, you got to think coming into the game, all right, we're going to try to limit what Chris Johnson does. I mean, I'm sure they were trying. Why couldn't they? Why was that season just so off the charts for you?
Man, they was trying, but, man, you know, I had a great offensive line. Then not only that, if you go look at that season highlights alone, you will see how well my receivers was blocking down.
Yes, they were. Yeah.
Down the field, and then my fullback, Amaya Hall, man, like, he used to be getting to it. That's my boy, man. Then, you know, Heimerdinger, man, you know, RIP to him, but, man, that guy, I never seen nobody put plays together, put just a whole offensive scheme together, and also not just having these plays in your playbook. Being an offensive coordinator, what people don't understand is you have to know when to call it. You have to set it up. Like, it's chess. It ain't checkers. So, like, it's chess, you know what I'm saying? So, you going back and forth with the other defense coordinators. So, you got to know when to call these plays and when to do it. So, all that, man, we was just clicking.
CJ, so, you know, I block for beast mode, big dog. We've talked about this before. And, I there were times on the sideline where beast mode, he would have 150 yards, something like that. And he was like, man, let's let the young guys go eat, right? And I would always tell him, dog, you can get the 2K.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
He's like, oh, man, but if I ain't got to do it, you know what I'm saying? I ain't got to do it. You feel what I'm saying? I want the young boys to eat. What was getting the 2K, was that a goal of yours that year? Was that something that you guys actively talked about? Or was it something where, like, you got to, like, 1,500 yards and you looked at what you had left and was like, oh, shit, I can get this now?
Man, that definitely – it was a goal of mine. But it was a goal of mine, but – honestly, I think it was something that, like, I went in the offseason like, man, I'm working hard for this 2001. It was something I threw out there because I always been the type of player, like, I like to set my goals so high that even if I don't get them, like, I still had a great season. So I'm like, man, I'm rough 2,000 yards this year. You know what I'm saying? And then just crazy, like, it just started happening, like, for real, like, because even me coming into the league and around that era and stuff like that, like, it wasn't really known for guys to go for 2,000 yards. That was back then, like, you know, back in those running backs, they averaging 15, 16, 1,700 a year. And it was a running back lead. Like, we ran the ball, ran the ball. Know what I'm saying? So I just threw it out there. That's something I threw out there. And it started to happen, man.
One more follow-up to that. So, you know, we've all, you know, Jeezy, you ain't been in the team, you know, offensive team meeting room, but it's okay. You was there with me and my soul, okay? But yeah, we've been in offensive team meeting rooms, and I've been in those, you know, before games. And the OC is like pumping us up, like, yeah, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that. Was it ever to talk about, yeah, we're gonna run the hell out of the football? CJ, we got the best back in the league. Like, was the talk like that around the whole building?
It definitely was like that. That was the talk. We knew where our offense ran through. It ran through the running back. We know had a good offensive line. We know our philosophy for winning games at that time was, we're going to run the ball and we're going to play great defense. So we knew what it was. So when we used to go in the games, defenses knew we was going to run the ball. Even before that year, my first year, me and Lindell White, I had 1,200, almost 1,300. He had almost 900 yards. So they knew we was going to run the ball. So they knew what our formula was. So it wasn't like we weren't surprising nobody. Like, they knew we was going to run the ball, and they just had to stop it.
You ran the ball, you caught the ball, that all-purpose, yards from scrimmage, because all-purpose brings in return yards. It's a whole different thing. Yards from scrimmage, you are the leader, 2509, Marshall Faulk, 2429, Christian McCaffrey, 2392. So somebody's going to challenge you at some point, maybe even catch you. But the thing is, they're going to have a 17th game to do it, right? So if and when that occurs, your thoughts on, hey, I did it in 16, they're doing it in 17. I mean, do they have to put an asterisk next to whoever comes and challenges you and maybe catches you?
You can say that, but it is what it is. They can say the same thing about my 2,000-yard season. OJ did it in 14 games. You know what I'm saying? We got two extra games. So no matter what, even if they do break it in 17 games, they still had a great season. They still had a great season. So it is what it is, man. You know, records may be broke. Only thing you can go off, like, it was 2009. I think it's been, what, like 11 years? I
didn't have – it's 12, yeah, 12 and counting right now. Hey, and I'll tell you what, whoever gets – they won't have the nickname, CJ2K. Do you remember when that originated, how it originated, what you thought when you first heard it?
Yeah, that's crazy. What Rob was saying, as the year was going on and the yards was adding up and stuff, you know, sure, I knew I was having a good year, but it still went like, oh, damn, I'm going 2,000 yards. I'm sitting at home watching NFL Network, and it just popped up at the bottom of the screen. Like, I forgot who said it. I don't remember who said it, but they said CJ2K. And the thing popped up at the bottom of the screen, CJ2K, with the ticker thing, like, you know, counting down as far as my yards. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, dang, CJ2K, that's crazy. even when they said that, like, I never even started, like, calling myself that. I didn't start that until after that offseason. Like, I never even started calling myself that. When people used to see me, they just started calling me 2K, CJ2K or 2K, and it just went from there.
Yeah, dog, it was an awesome, awesome nickname. And like I said, man, the speed, the power, how you ran with the football, man. You know, I love looking at running backs, and you was one of the guys played when I played, and you was definitely one of the guys that we looked at. Now I'm gonna take it to you to the Tennessee Titans, right? Bring it up to speed, right? You said a week ago that the Titans are still the team to beat, even without King Henry, right?
Right.
Now we saw him take care of the Rams. You saw him take care of the Saints without King Henry. And they're still the top seed in the AFC, right? So it's hard to argue with your assessment of, of the Tennessee Titans. But what makes you think that they can stay the top of the AFC without King Henry? Because, I mean, you got the Bills, you got KC that got right this past week. There's a lot of contenders out there in the AFC. What makes you think that the Titans are this year's top seed in the AFC?
I think that because I think, what is, 5 games left? No, 5?
No, a little bit more than that.
6 games. Six out of the 6 games, we got played Houston twice.
Okay.
Jacksonville once. Who else do we got? Well, out of those 6 games, we got 3. We got Houston twice.
Yeah, Houston, twice. You got Jacksonville, Houston twice, Miami. Patriots is a tough one. Steelers, 49ers. I think that's all of them right there.
Yeah.
Wow.
49ers looked good last night, I ain't gonna lie. But if we win at least 4 out of those last games, ain't no way we ain't gonna finish at the top. If we go in 4 of them.
So you riding with Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill can throw y'all to a championship. But, you know, I'm a Ryan Tannehill hater. I'm gonna just call it out. I'll be thinking that you can consistently win with him just dropping back and throwing the football. I think the running game has to be there. You're a believer in Ryan.
Man, honestly, I think the running game gonna have to step up. Be real with you. I ain't gonna sit there and say Ryan got to drop back and throw it 50 times, then we're gonna be in trouble.
Yeah.
So the running game gotta step up, and the defense have to continue to play how we've been playing. But I think Ryan Tannehill can win us at least 4 of these last games.
Okay, I'm feeling that.
And that might be plenty. Now,
we can beat Miami, we can beat Houston twice, and we can beat Jacksonville.
Do you talk to Derrick Henry? Is that one of your buddies? You talk to him?
Yeah, I talk to Derrick.
Well, my understanding is they get to the playoffs and possibility he comes back. Has he expressed any optimism to you?
I never heard too much of that injury. I'm not sure how long it's going to take. I know they say probably like 10 weeks, but we all know how it is with them injuries. And even when it is time to come back, you got to get back in football shape. You don't want to just go early and stuff. So I ain't really sure about that. But if he is, I kind of had one of the same scenarios when I went to Arizona. I ended up breaking my leg, and they put me on IR. They ended up putting me on IR, which I would have been able to come back way earlier, but back then you had to be at 8 games.
So
if we would have made it to the Super Bowl, I would have been able to come back and play. We lost the game before the Super Bowl. I think Cam Newton and them, we lost. But yeah, if he's able to get back and we go deep in the playoffs, who knows?
Yo, so you guys got Adrian Peterson running the football. That man is old as I am, and I'm damn near 40, right? And he's out here running the football. I got two questions for you. First of all, your thoughts on AP, number one, and number two, when you saw that they may be in need for a running back, did you think about putting back on the cleats a little bit? I mean, you're not as old as AP.
No, me and AP came out the same year. We both
04. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
He has his junior year, but what I think about AP now, like, shoot, for him to be able to still work out the way he work out and still be in that type of shape to go there and play, man, you know, that's amazing, because we know how this game take a wear and tear on your body and stuff like that. Yeah. But for me watching the game and seeing how they're using him and that type of stuff, I could have came back and did that.
You could have came back. Okay, so what's your 40 right now? If you think you could come back with your 40 right now, if you just went outside right now.
Yeah, when right now.
Yeah. Right
now, I'd probably run a high 4.3.
Hey, get the fuck out of here, Chris. Say, Jerry,
bro, come on, bro. I know you're an athletic freak, bro. 4.3 is fast, dog.
It's only 40 yards, bro. It's only 40 yards.
Jeezy, you hear him, bro? He's saying you're running 4.3 right now off the couch. Ain't did nothing.
You think I'm going to doubt him? You think I'm going to doubt him? This is the guy that raised the cheetah one
time. I ran by the 4.38.
You run about a 4.38 right now without working out, without nothing. Oh, my goodness.
Can he stretch? Is he allowed to stretch?
No, I'm talking about go walk outside and go run.
Yeah, now ask me that same question. Give me 2 months to train.
If you had 2 months to train, what would that speed be like?
I run a 4.29.
4.29. So
2 months to train.
Oh my goodness! So you need to race Tyreek Hill, man. Y'all, you know what I'm saying? Y'all ever thought about setting something like that up?
I ain't doing that. You know what? this ain't my time right now. You gotta let them young boy have it. If you say prime, and we line it up like when I was in my prime, okay, that's a different story.
I feel you, bro.
Now wait a second, because you're talking about the guy they call Cheetah. Chris, you actually did race a cheetah, right? When was that? Back 2012, 2013? Tell us that story.
Maybe like 2012, 2013, something like that. Yeah,
a real animal? Or like a four-legged animal? What the hell? Cheetah. When the hell did that happen, and how'd you set that up, bro? Like, talk about that.
Well, yeah, it was National Geographic Cat Week or whatever. So, you know, my marketing guy, he hit me up. He like, yeah, they want to see if you want to race a cheetah. I'm like, shoot, come on, line it up. Come on. So out at Busch Gardens, you know, I'm from Orlando. I stay in Orlando. Yeah. So down in Tampa, Busch Gardens, that's where we filmed it at or whatever. So I went up there, you know, we lined it up, we raced. I barely lost that end, but I raced the cheetah, but it's sort of a trick to it. So instead of in order to give me a fair shot, honestly, what they did was they did like go and test the line and come back. So
So
when racing a cheetah, cheetahs, they can't stop on the stop of a dime.
They can't stop.
It take them a while to turn around or whatever. But they so fast, man. Like, so I think it was like 50, 60 yards, ran down 30, touch it, and ran back. He barely came and got me at the end.
That's so dope, man. That is so dope, man. So I'm gonna change it a little bit. Talk about today's backs, man. Is there a favorite running back you have out there right now, young backs, young guys out there. I mean, you got the guy in Indy, Jonathan Taylor. Obviously, you have King Henry out there. Just talk about the young backs that you like out there right now.
Yeah. Henry, of course. Henry. Yeah. He in the league of his own right now.
Yes, like, he is, bro.
He in the league of his own. Him, I love Cook. I love Cook. Man, and Taylor, I ain't going to lie. Taylor, he really surprised me.
Really? You didn't think he was going to be this good this early?
I ain't think it was going to happen this early. I ain't think he was going to be this good this early. And the games and the stuff that he's been able to do, man, it is crazy, man. He definitely surprised me, but I love his game, though.
That's dope, man.
How about on the other side of the ball, what defender, when you look out there and you watch the game right now, would you – I don't know, maybe you welcome the challenge, but what's – or maybe you wouldn't welcome that. Who's the guy you look at and the guy, hey, that guy is a spectacular defender. And who was that guy for you when you were playing as well?
When I was playing, Troy – Palomalu. He was just doing whatever he wanted to do back there. Him played against Ray Lewis, just, you know what I'm saying? But the guy that I've been liking to watch right now, that I got two of them. Watt from Pittsburgh.
TJ, yeah.
TJ. Mm-hmm. And what is that? Buddha Baker.
Buddha. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Man.
He fly around.
He come around. And I was, it's crazy. I say that because I was there when he got drafted to Arizona his rookie year. I was there. And he was behind Honey Badger.
Okay.
And, know what I'm saying? He ended up making a Pro Bowl in a special team or whatever. Know what I'm saying? He was a decent player. But then they let Honey Badger go, and I couldn't even fathom that. I couldn't understand, like, how do you – y'all just paying Honey Badger. Like, how y'all let him go? And when I seen him play last year, I see that's why they let him go. You know what I'm saying? They brought him in there, let him learn behind Honey Badger, let Honey Badger go, because obviously they got him for cheaper because they just drafted him. And I seen how he play, how he come down here. He play with no fear at all. And it's like, okay, I see what's going on now. But I love the way he's playing ball right now.
Yeah, Buddha Baker flying around, man. He's one of the top safeties in the league. He's a sure tackler. That's what I really like about him. And he's great in coverage as well. Talking about defenders, was there ever a defender that, like, you know, talked so much you-know-what to you that you just like, man, I got to shut this damn dude up? I mean, because you got to think, bro, you ran for a lot of yards, so I'm sure you frustrated a lot of guys. Hey, Jeezy. We played the Titans one year when I was with the Niners, bro. I might have been his rookie year, dog. With Patrick Willis was there. He ran around Patrick. Patrick Willis is one of the fastest linebackers our league has seen. He ran around Patrick within five steps and went like 70 on us, dog. I was like, man, get the fuck out of here, bro. Like, who was that defender that kind of got underneath your skin? You like, bro, when I get the ball, I'm going to gas it on him and let him know about it.
What's his name? Play with the Texans linebacker on Brian Cushion, man. Me and Brian Cushion, man, we used to battle, man, every game, talk back and forth every game. That's one dude right there that I used to hate to let make a tackle on me. But Brian Cushion, man, we had some good battles though, man.
Brian Cushion, man. You got something else, Jeezy?
Well, but when you would you do the talking? Because you didn't strike me as the guy that would do a lot of yapping. But I mean, I guess if he started, you would kind of counter it.
Yeah. I don't do no talking. I'd be too tired, man. I'd be needing my breath. All that. I don't want to be doing no talking on that. But Brian Fishing, it was just something about him. Like, he bring it out of you. Know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, man, you could be playing against him and
yeah.
The other linebacker made the tackle, and he already talking trash. Like, you need to get that. But, yeah, we used to have some good battles, man. But he a real cool dude or whatever. But, yeah, we used to have some real good battles.
You let your feet do the talking. And speaking of that, your 40-yard dash time held for, I can't remember how many years, John Ross, the one that finally broke it. you know, the combine is such a long day for these kids. They got the medicals, the weigh-ins and all that, and you're waiting around all day. You're not eating. That's the other thing I hear. These guys are running on an empty stomach and they're tired. They haven't been sleeping. They're out of their element. For you, did you run your fastest 40 the day that you ran? Was it 4.24? Did you run your fastest 40? Did you come away saying I could have run faster? And you know, what was it that day that you just maybe 20 yards in, you're saying, hey, I'm moving right now?
Yeah, nah. I think I did. Like, even like you going through all that different stuff and all that, like, you know, it's adrenaline, man. It's time to get to it. You know what I'm saying? So like, yeah. I look at it, it's different. Like that, everybody say you got all this different stuff going on, this and that. Man, listen, I came from East Carolina. Everybody else from these big schools, they got all these backs ranked higher than me. So I came here for a purpose. I'm ready. Like, I don't give a damn. Y'all can make us stay up 48 hours straight. When it's time to get out there and perform, I'm finna show y'all. So I was ready. No matter what they put us through, no nothing. They put you through a whole lot, but I was ready. And that was my first time running a 40-yard electronic. So I done ran a 4.18 hand time, but you know how that is when we was training for the draft, stuff like that. And actually my junior day, when the scouts came out and we ran it on a little rubber track, though. I ran a 4.18. But as far as electronic, yeah, that was my fastest 4.24.
Dog, you can't just be, I ran a 4. Hey, Jeezy, you still flexing on us, bro? That's called flexing, dog. He just flexing, yeah, my junior day. You know, I had on some sneakers. I ran a 4.18. You know, I won't nothing to it. You know what I'm saying? That's called flexing. Hey, CJ, bro. Thank you, big dog. Thanks for coming by the show. We can't thank you enough. You can come by anytime you want. That'll do it for this week's episode of Total Access to Locker Room. For more insight with the Locker Room point of view, check out the latest episodes every Wednesday and Friday on Apple and Spotify.